wild man, he warned me, but I think it would be worth your while to speak to him. I called Prague and over the span of an hour was told a tale as bizarre as any I've heard in my profession. It occurred to me on several occasions that the person at the other end of the line might be a kook, but I pushed those thoughts aside and kept listening because it was impossible not to. I'm a sucker for a great story, and this one had all the elements of a first-rate medical thriller. It was by turns creepy, scary, weird, and inspiring. What's more, if true, it had important health ramifications. After the conversation ended, I called around to other experts on this cat parasite for a reality check. I did this rather sheepishly at first, out of fear of sounding gullible. But one source after another said that the check's ideas, though far from proven, deserved serious scrutiny. His human studies, and the odyssey that led him down that path of inquiry, became the basis of a legendary article I wrote for The Atlantic and are described in a chapter here, along with his most up-to-date results, so you can draw your own conclusions. A word of caution. Before you get to that section, please do not panic and give away a pet cat. As I will explain in more detail, there are much more effective ways to protect against the infection than parting with a cherished companion. Over the course of investigating the topic, I came across many other stories of parasitic mind control. I learned of parasites that force their hosts to be their personal bodyguards, babysitters, chauffeurs, servants, and more. Sometimes scientists understand how they accomplish these feats. Other times they're left scratching their heads. It seemed to me that neurosurgeons and psychopharmacologists could learn a lot from parasites. Once I became aware of their antics, it was hard to look at the world outside my window in the same way again. Behind the scenes of the spectacle we call natural selection, I was surprised to learn parasites are often directing the action, influencing the outcome of the battle between predator and prey. Insights into their stagecraft gave me a radically different perspective on ecology, evolutionary biology, and the spread of mosquito-borne scourges like malaria and dengue hemorrhagic fever. While parasites' coercive tactics have many disturbing implications for humans, the news from this front is not all bleak. Some microbes may actually improve our mental health, and invaders with sinister aims will have to contend with much more than our immune systems. Mounting research suggests that hosts have developed powerful psychological defenses against parasites. Scientists call this mental shield the behavioral immune system. Experiments show that it kicks into action in situations where the threat of infection is high, prompting the organism in peril to respond in prescribed ways to reduce its risk. A simple example is a dog that reacts to being hurt by licking its wound, thus coating the injury with saliva rich in bacteria-killing compounds. In smart primates like humans, however, it appears that our behavioral defenses have become tied to increasingly abstract and symbolic ways of thinking. Many habits and traits that seem far removed from pathogens, such as our political beliefs, sexual attitudes, or intolerance toward people who break societal taboos, may arise at least in part from a subconscious desire to avoid contagion. There is even evidence that the presence or absence of germs in our immediate surroundings, indicated by such signs as a rancid odor or filthy living conditions, can influence our personalities. Directly or indirectly, parasites manipulate how we think, feel, and act. In fact, our interaction with them may shape not only the contours of our minds, but also the characteristics of entire societies, perhaps explaining some puzzling cultural differences between parts of the world where pathogens are an omnipresent threat, and areas that have dramatically lowered that risk through vaccination programs and improved sanitation. Numerous lines of evidence suggest that the prevalence of parasites in our broader communities influences the food we eat, our religious practices, whom we choose as mates, and the governments that rule us. The science behind these claims is still young. Some findings are preliminary and may not hold up to scrutiny. But the research is massing quickly, and the outlines of a new discipline are clearly taking shape.